I gotta go potty. That's a good thing to tell your daddy. All right. Today our topic is the third sermon of the fan, not a follower. Excuse me. A fan. Are you a fan or a follower? Forgive me. Are you a fan or are you a follower? This is a great sermon. This is a very good sermon. We've been talking about the topic of what it means to be a follower of Christ, and intimacy with God is a most important ingredient of being a follower. Intimacy with God. And that's our topic today. Choosing intimacy. That's what a follower would do. Let's pray. God, I am, and truly we all are, humbled under the weight of our persons, of sin and selfishness, our choices are not always what you would choose. Our hearts are quick to judge others and speak evil of others and think we're something, when in all reality we are all at best broken, like the World Trade Center was broken. Please teach us this morning and help us to choose the heart and love of intimacy with you. And I pray for you to draw souls to you, Christ, if they're not ever understood salvation through your atonement on the cross and your resurrection. Oh God, speak to us and bless this church, that we would be followers. In Jesus, your name I pray, amen. Ben, I'd like to ask you to, if you could, to show the sermonette. I know that's a funny word for people who go to church. That's what you get when you go to a church, you get a sermonette, but this is just an introductory thing that Kyle Eidelman gives to the topic of the week, intimacy.
There's a popular magazine for hikers called Trail Magazine. In their February 2004 issue, they published directions on how to get down from Britain's highest peak. Calculating. Returning from 4,409 feet requires explicit and detailed directions, especially in bad weather. But if you were to actually follow the directions, they would take you right off the edge of a cliff and into a 1,000-foot drop.
At next intersection, turn right.
Imagine traveling along, feeling secure and confident, not knowing that the directions in your hand, if actually followed, would lead to your destruction. The truth is, on this trail called life, all of us are following someone's directions. None of us are really blazing our own trail. We all follow a path that has been laid out for us by someone claiming to know the way. The question is, whose directions are you following? What path are you on?
Thanks, Ben. You'll need to X out of that, or that music may come back at us. Whose path are you following? As he stated there, sometimes, Dave, in fact, it reminds me of our Sunday school Bible time this morning. Dave Grazier was talking about the guys that he went to school with 40 years ago at William and Mary when he played football, and they gathered together for their 40th reunion. William and Mary. And most of the guys that were on the team, were their goal in life that they were following was to make enough money to retire and to enjoy retirement by playing golf and enjoying the things of this world. In Proverbs, it says, there is a way that seems right unto a man. And by the way, that way seems right to these people. Do you understand? They see with temporary eyes. They don't see that one day they're going to stand before God and be judged in their life and for how they've lived their life. But they see with temporary eyes, and there's a way that seems right to follow, and you can follow the way that the world walks and lives, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And you end facing God and not being prepared through Jesus Christ. This morning in this message, it's mainly focused on the difference between knowing God and having intimacy with God. An interesting story happens in Luke 7, and I'm not going to turn there right now, but in Luke chapter 7, there is a Pharisee named Simon. And Simon asked Jesus to come to his house for lunch. And his friends are gathered there, other Pharisees in all reality probably. And they're gathered around the table. And in walks, really crawls maybe, a woman. She was a woman of the streets. She falls down at Jesus' feet and holds on to his feet and begins to cry. And as she cries, Jesus' feet were dirty because his host had not washed his feet, which was customary, had not even washed his hands or kissed his hand, which was customary when you had a guest. And this woman was weeping and washing his feet, which were dirty, with her hair, with her tears and with her hair, and drying them with her hair. And then she took out some expensive ointment and she anointed his feet with that ointment. Now, there's two figures here, Simon the Pharisee and the woman of the street. One had all kinds of Bible knowledge. In fact, I think he maybe had even asked Jesus to his house because he wanted the teacher to teach. He wanted knowledge. The other woman wanted Jesus and to give intimacy of love, her love, to him. I think this is a very great truth for a Baptist church. Because oftentimes we're focused on knowledge. We want to know more. But do we lack intimacy? Do we lack a heart that loves and is so grateful, overwhelmingly grateful that he has forgiven me? Mothers and a baby form bonds of intimacy like no other relationship on earth, I think. There's been times when I was holding a baby, our children, and when they start to cry, what do? You hand them off to mom. And the reason why is because mom usually knows what the baby needs. And especially when you console them and you rock them and you do this and you might even give them a bottle and they're still crying. But mom knows this baby like no one else. A mother can discern what their baby's needs are when they're crying. And have you ever passed a baby around? You're at a party and that baby's crying and you pass the baby around and the baby keeps crying. And then you give it to mom. and the baby calms down. Now, I know that's not always, but that's often. And that's a picture of intimacy. That is a picture of the intimate love that God has. A mother's love is instinctively nurturing and intimate. I mean, a mother's love and a grandmother's love is so intimate. It's intimate like God is with us. Now, the best biblical word for intimacy is the word know. Seinfeld often said this word, yada, yada, yada. The word yada is the word know. In Genesis 4:1, Adam knew his wife. Now, I think that NIV says lay, but the word is yada, which means to know with intimacy. Adam knew his wife, and she conceived. Now, there's a picture of human intimacy, wouldn't you say? He lay with his wife, and he knew his wife, and she conceived. Yada, the Hebrew word for know, to know and be known completely. Now, okay. Yada is the know or no moment between a husband and a wife. There we go. One Hebrew scholar calls it a mingling of souls, a blending and mingling. This is true. It is the mingling of two into one. Yada, to know. Whoop. Well, it's touchy today. Sometimes. Intimacy should grow with getting to know each other. Have you ever been to a restaurant and a new couple doesn't sit opposite each other? They sit side by side. And they're always talking. They just talk, 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 talk. And have you ever noticed an older couple? They will sit on the other, each end of the table, and they hardly even say anything to each other. Why? Because they already know each other. Excuse me. But they know each other. That's not necessarily bad. It's just a sign that they're so accustomed to being. They can talk through silence. We can talk and know each other through quietness as you get older. But intimacy takes on new meaning with family at McDonald's. You don't, no longer have that intimacy. You should, as husband and wife. But a family brings a whole new dimension into the intimate part. I like this picture. Come on. This couple had yada. They had yada for each other intimately. I love that picture. That is the picture of oneness. That is the picture of how close intimacy can be, even though you've been married for all those years. Intimacy is a very beautiful thing in marriage. Number one, though, God knows you intimately. Turn with me to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. God knows you intimately. Psalm 139. Verses 1 through 6, 139. O Lord, you have searched me and yada me. You yada my sitting down and my rising up. You yada my thought afar off. You yada my path in my lying down and are acquainted, familiar with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before, you have laid your hand upon me. Can you imagine God laying his hand, laying his hand on you. That's what God is doing in your life. He has his hand upon you. That's how close he is to you. Such knowledge, it's just way too wonderful for me. Look at verse 13. You formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. And on he goes about how God knows him, and God knows you. He knows you. He knows you intimately. He knows how you're living, how you have lived, the things that you're really ashamed of, the things like I said, you don't know me, mister. God couldn't love me. But he showed me that he demonstrated his love toward me while I was still a sinner. I'm still using drugs and still going to the bars and still living in the ways of the world. God knows you intimately. The very hairs of your head are numbered. God only knows what I did without you. That's a bald head, by the way. You may not be able to make it out. Maybe turn these lights down a little bit, Jeff. God says, why do you fear things? The very hairs of your head are numbered. Do you know that? Do you know how intimate God is? And how much he knows you? It is so beautiful. And I think that's why David said, such thoughts are just too wonderful for me to imagine. Does God really know who you are? Yes, intimately. But he longs for you to know him. He longs because in knowing him is love. In knowing him is true love. In knowing him is true life. He longs for you to know him through Jesus Christ. Can't get her to go. There you go. Through his son, Jesus Christ. And by the way, let me emphasize this to you. He loves you, but all his love can only be given to you through Jesus Christ. Please understand that. If you take your life apart from faith in relationship with Jesus Christ, I want you to know, though he loves you, he will send you to an eternal separation from him forever and ever in a lake of fire. You say, that's horrible. How can a God of love do that? Because he has offered his son as the means for you to come to him. And if you reject his son, you reject the relationship with him. You can't come to the Father but through him. And the world needs to understand that. And everybody in this community needs to understand that. And they need to understand it through us in our everyday life, showing and telling them about the love of God. Number two, God wants you to know him intimately. I love these verses in John 17. I love John 17. Turn there with me, if you would, please. John 17, Jesus' prayer. His prayer for not only his disciples at that time, but for you, if you are a believer in him, and for all of us who believe in him. John 17, verse 2. He's praying to the Father. as you, Father, have given him, that is Jesus, him, me, he's praying, authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. You see, God wants to be known, but the only way he can be known is through his Son, Jesus Christ. And this is eternal life, that you may know me and that you may know him. Do you know that you know and have a relationship of knowing him? That you know God and that you know Jesus Christ, and that you know your relationship is secure with God through Jesus Christ. John 20, he ends with these amazing verses in John 17, 20. He says, I do not pray for these alone, praying for his disciples around him, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us. There's that mingling of the soul. God wants to be one with you. He wants us to be in Jesus and in the Father, that we may be one. And that in order that the world may believe that you sent me. That's one of the goals and purposes of our oneness. Verse 22, and the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one. Can you imagine that? That we would be one as God, the Father, and the Son, and the Spirit are one. Now, if that doesn't blow, if that's not too wonderful for you to think upon, I don't even know. That is beyond. That blows all a lot of Christianity up right there. That we would, and it's easy to preach this, isn't it? Truly. But to love the person who doesn't love you, or to love the person that looks down at you, talks bad about you. Well, anyway, I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them, you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me. There it is again. And have loved them as you have loved me. Can you imagine that God loves you as he loves his only Son, who has been at his right hand from all eternity? And that's how much he loves you. We don't comprehend these things. Father, I desire, verse 24, that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name, and I will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them. Now I'd say that's intimacy. God wants you to be intimate with him. And I'm going to be honest with you. We don't feel comfortable doing that. We don't feel comfortable being close enough with each other, do we? And there's reasons why we're afraid of intimacy. especially with people. Because the reality is, we have been vulnerable. We have been open. We have had close friendships. We have even had people we loved and were intimate with, and they rejected us and burned us and crushed us because we allowed ourselves to be open. Do you know how many pastors in churches with the people that they're intimate with turn out to turn against them? Because pastors are humans too, guys. I'm a human. You're a human. And by the way, I thank God that though some of you may have struggled with me, you've never left me in the lurch. You've never said you're a bum, even though I know you thought it. Tell the truth and shame the devil, as they all say. But God wants you to know him intimately. Fans choose knowledge. Followers choose intimacy in response to faith in Jesus Christ. Luke, turn with me now to Luke 7, and let's close with this story. Luke chapter 7. Of course, verse 36, then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him. And he went to the Pharisee's house, sat down to eat, and behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner. When she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, this woman who's a sinner brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil, stood at his feet behind him, weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wipe them with the hair of her head. She kissed his feet and anointed them with fragrant oil. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him, Jesus, saw this, he spoke to himself. Notice that. Just like we do. This man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who's touching him. For she's a sinner. And Jesus answered and said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. Teacher, say it. There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed him 500 denarii, the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave both of them. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more? Simon answered and said, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. Then he said to him, you have rightly judged. He turns to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? See her. Look at her, Simon. Do you see her? Do you and I see people? Do we see people? Are we quick to judge them, or do we see them? Why they're in drug addiction? Why they're alcoholics? Why they're sexually immoral? you see this woman, Simon? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head, which was a minimal gesture of hospitality. But he never gave it to Jesus. He never gave it to him. You gave me no kiss. This woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. And then he looks at her. He looks at this woman. And he says, your sins are forgiven. And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, who is this that can forgive, that forgives sin? And then he turns to the woman again. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. The point of this message is, if you're going to be a follower, you will be intimate with God. Your relationship with Him will be more than knowledge. Do you understand? Your relationship with Him will be more than knowing and having the ability to say the books of the Bible in 25 seconds. Your relationship with Him will be more than oftentimes my relationship with Him. I mean, education is I love to learn. Do you love to learn? Do you love to learn? But do you love Jesus intimately? It's not enough to know the Bible. We're talking about idolatry in Sunday school. And back in the days of Paul in the book of Acts and Ephesus, idolatry. Do you know the biggest idolatry in the church? It's bibliolatry. Bibliolatry. Knowing everything we can know and not doing it. This woman falls at Jesus' feet. And whether she falls, whether she's standing up and he's reclining at a table where he's elevated, I don't care. The Pharisee asked, does he not know who's touching him? She's a prostitute. Those who have been forgiven much love much. Your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. I'll tell you what I think God wants from us to be follower, and that is to seek Him, to commune with Him, to be one with Him in our prayers, to listen for His voice in the sense of stopping, shutting off. And I found this picture. Well, I'll get to it, maybe I won't. But He wants to have a relationship with you and me. And I think that involves the Word of God, because I think God speaks through His Word. I'm just going to be honest with you. I think it's a wonderful thing. I think Sunday school is a wonderful thing. I think Sunday night and groups are a wonderful thing. But if the end goal is to just have knowledge without love, what's knowledge without love do to us? It puffs us up, it says in 1 Corinthians. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. It builds up. God wants a close where he and your soul mingle, and you walk out of your doors in the morning walking with Him, and you walk into work and you see people totally different. You hear people totally different. Isn't it wonderful to be a Christian and to walk with the Lord, in one with His Spirit, and to go out and to touch people's lives? This woman was so grateful for what Jesus did for her. That's what He did for her. And that's what He did for you. Do you love Him? Do you love Him? Are you ready to become vulnerable as this woman was? Are you ready to become vulnerable and openly hold on to Jesus? He arose again, of course, the third day. And He can save your soul if you're here today and you've never been saved. He can save your soul the way He saved that woman's soul. He can forgive your sins, which are many. And by the way, you people who grew up in church, you're just as big a sinner if you see yourself before a holy God. You're as sinful as I am. We're all broken, if the whole truth were ever known. We've all sinned. I want you to know God knows you and He loves you. Okay. I found this. I thought this comic was cool. I wonder why I don't hear from the shepherd anymore. He should be holding a cell phone. Did you know they're dealing with the addiction of youth and cell phones? It's an addiction. And you parents who don't give your cell phone, kids a cell phone, I love you.
See, he loves me.
I love you. Please hear that, girls. If your mom doesn't give you, I'm telling you, these kids are so tied, and you big kids are not far behind. I'm telling you, they can take you away from God faster than anything. The computer, the television, noise, the Bible sitting at the side, but I can't hear the shepherd anymore. Intimacy. Intimacy is loving God more than the world and the things of the world. I love that. My sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Intimacy. Let's pray together. Do you understand the message today? Jesus Christ is not satisfied with knowledge alone. He wants our intimate love. That's the most beautiful thing there is, is to love God with intimacy. I wonder maybe if this is what Jesus found as a weakness to the church at Ephesus when he said, "You have left your first love." I wonder, have you left your first love? Your intimacy? Fans are satisfied with knowledge. Followers want intimacy. Lord, I pray that if there's one here that's never received you as their Savior, God, never believed in a relationship with you through your Son, his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension to your right hand, I pray that today that you would speak to that heart that's not born again and has never had a relationship in reality with you other than coming to church. They've never begun a love relationship to you. They've never seen their brokenness. They've never seen, like Simon, they never saw how sinful they were. Please, Lord, expose our blindness. Help us to see that if we saw ourselves aright, we would all be at your feet, Jesus. Broken, weeping. God, thank you. Thank you for saving me out of myself and out of this world and from Satan and eternal hell. Thank you. I owe you my all. God, break some hearts here this morning. Break my heart even deeper. Break my heart to remember my first love. Break all of our hearts to love you, Jesus Christ, with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to want to give you our all, our love, that we would be followers of you, lovers of you as you loved us, that we might see how one we are with you and you with us and with one another. Oh God, your word is so beyond us, too wonderful thoughts for us. Please speak to us, God. Bring us to our knees. Speak. I feel bad, Lord, if I failed you. I pray for your grace to draw hearts anyway. In Jesus, your name.